Al, I think the organs are working pretty well here, too. Wonderful. Well, I'm the last speaker in ministry, and so I just want to emphasize again what our brother Dan has mentioned at the beginning, that there are many of us that can express our thanks to the Christians here in Jackson for their very warm-hearted fellowship. The weather hasn't affected your fellowship. And for the very wonderful meals and just for the good time together. We do value this, and we trust that this weekend will be a time of rich blessing, even as we make our way down the road, and that you will be blessed here as well. In the midst of all the labors and the costs involved and the sacrifice, God will richly recompense you as well, and that the joy of the Lord would be your strength. Hebrews chapter 12, just in the remaining moments of this afternoon, and we want to thank the brethren for that very heartfelt ministry. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll look at verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, we've been looking at weight watching, spiritual weight watching. It has been said that diets are for those who are thick and tired of it. And I trust that even as a result of this weekend, that we might take weight watching, spiritual weight watching, a little more seriously. We've been reminded of some women that put a lot of value on spiritual weight. We were reminded earlier of a man that had very little spiritual weight. You notice yesterday the value of some weight being added for our preservation. I want to just kind of look at one more little passage here concerning the value of having weights removed. We're heading down the road in a very few minutes. Weekend has come and gone very quickly, and this warm oasis is going to soon give way to the cold realities of a very unrighteous, unfeeling world. You know, when I look at the book of Hebrews, I find that it was written to people, and they too were on the move. In fact, they had been involved in a tremendous movement that involved everything that encompassed their lives. They had moved from the temporary to the eternal. They had moved from the visible to the invisible. They had moved from the sensual to the spiritual. These were people that would be able to go into the holy place and they would smell the smoke of incense. That's pretty moving. They'd see colorful robes moving, the sensual. But now they had moved to the spiritual. They had moved from a place of acceptance to a place of reproach. They'd moved from the comfort of being on the in-group to the suffering of being a despised group. They'd moved from a system to the Savior. They'd moved from the shadows to the substance. They'd moved from sight to faith. They'd moved from the temporary to the permanent. They had moved from the changing to the unchanging. They had moved from that which was incomplete to that which was absolutely complete, finished. They'd moved from that which was ongoing to that which had been finally completed forever. And as Brother Andrew mentioned in his prayer this morning, they had moved from the complex to the simple. And now some of them are wondering, should we keep going? Is it worth it? Or should we go back? Well, I don't know where you are, but I think every time we get together as a group of believers, those are the realities that we face. Should we keep going? What's in it for us? What marks our devotion? Why are we doing this? And so I want to just notice just a few brief points concerning some of the travel tips for these believers. I want to notice, first of all, the secret of progress. And secondly, the necessity of patience. And thirdly, the glory of the prospect, or the glory of this person. Secret of progress, the necessity of patience, and the prospect of glory. Ever travel with kids? Some of us have been there, done that. Some of you are still right there doing it. It's always an adventure, isn't it? Because when you're traveling with a young family, there are some things that will affect the journey. Number one, in order to reach the destination, you're going to have to be able to say, no, we're not going to stop right here. If we stop at every McDonald's and every Dairy Queen, we would never make it. So no, we can't stop now. We've got to keep moving because we've got a long ways to go. So there's going to have to be a sense of, or a willingness to say, no, we're not going to stop in view of the journey. Number two, kids, young people, children, they have very little understanding of time. No concept of time, no concept of distance. And so, of course, you're barely on the road, and they say, are we there yet? And you say, no, 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 we've got a long ways to go. And then, of course, a lot of times, our children have no idea of the prospect of the reward at the end of the journey. Now, I know if they're going to Grandma and Grandpa's place, well, that would bring a huge prospect into view. But sometimes they have no idea where we're going. We're going to Colorado. We're going to the Rockies, or we're going to the Pacific Ocean, and they have no idea. But as vision clears, grumbling decreases, and there's a focus. You know, when I come to Hebrews chapter 12, I find that that's exactly what's in view. That there's going to have to be an ability and a willingness to say no to certain things. And we have read that simple statement, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Lay aside every weight. Spiritual weight watching. Now let me just say this very quickly. These weights are not sinful things necessarily. They're just things that are going to weigh you down, bog you down. Suppose I show up at the starting block, the starting line for the Jackson Marathon on the July 4th weekend. I'm going to run the 26 miles. I've been training for it. And you watch me walk up to the starting line there, and I've got my skidoo boots on, and I got my winter parka because it's July the 4th, and I've got a motorcycle helmet on because I'm gonna run the race. You say, Marv, you're going to run with that? Yes, I am. Well, you're not thinking of winning. Of course I am. And you understand that Marv is not thinking too clearly. You don't run a marathon with those kind of things. You strip to the bare necessities. You want to run with as lightly as you can. Because you see, this race that we've been talking about, and this race that we've been addressing this weekend, is not a sprint. You might leave the Jackson Conference within a few minutes, and for the next week, man, you're all out. You're moving down the track, and this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. Life is a long journey, and here are believers. Here are those that had embraced Christ and all that he had brought into view, and they were going in it for long term. And now the writer said, if you're going to reach the end, you're going to have to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I ask myself, and I just want to ask you, what is robbing you? What is hindering you? What is weighting you down? What is robbing you of time with God? What is robbing you of joy and contentment as you begin a Monday day of work? What's robbing you of your service for God? What's robbing you of worship for him? What's robbing you of progress in the things of God? I have to tell you, and I was reading Psalm 63, and here's David in the wilderness, and he says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee." And I have to confess that sometimes when I get up in the morning, I say, "Boy, I better check my email. That's important." So, you know, you sign in and you check your email, and then of course there's another thing that you should check out, and there's another site you should, and then of course texts are coming in, so I better check my texts, and then of course Facebook, I've got to see what my friends are saying. And you know, sometimes I've caught myself to my shame that instead of seeking the Lord early, he's given the some place down the road, if at all. And I have weighted myself down. Not wrong to have a computer, not wrong to be on email and Facebook, and I'm not suggesting that. But there are things in every one of our lives, and I'm not going to spell them out. It could be business, it could be hobbies, it could be sports, it could be secular study, whatever the case is. All legitimate things in their place. But if you're going to run, and if you're going to reach the mark, you're going to have to lay aside every weight. And of course, it has been suggested, and the sin, but you'll notice that the word "the" is in italics, so really it's, to me, it's sin as a whole. And sin which doth so easily beset us. We've been reminded today of the reality of what sin does in our lives. To lay them aside. Remember, there was a young woman who was a very, very accomplished pianist. And she was asked one day, she said, how did you accomplish this? Oh, she said, very simply. It's very simple. She said, I accomplished my proficiency as a pianist by planned neglect. Planned neglect, what does that mean? Well, she said, I just planned to neglect anything that would hinder me from my ambition. So while others were partying, I applied myself to the piano. And while others followed other legitimate things, perhaps, she says, I focused. This was my desire. This was my purpose. Planned neglect. And here are believers, and they're told, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth, and sin which doth so easily beset us. The secret of progress is to lose some of these weights. I'm afraid a lot of us are weighted runners. I remember mentioning this another place, but there's a billboard in Ontario. I don't think it's there anymore, but just coming out of London a while ago, I saw a billboard put there by Ontario Hydro. It was a picture of a wall socket, the plug-in. And there were some adapters there, and there were about six or seven plugs, cords that had been plugged into that one little two socket outlet, and there was smoke curling up. And Ontario Hydro has just put these words, load them up, lose your life. Load them up, lose your life. You know, it's very easy to load up your life, to weigh your lives down with all kinds of things. And in the process, you're going to lose your life. Lose the privilege of living for Christ. Losing the tremendous opportunity to go in for that which has eternal weight and eternal value. The secret of progress is to lay aside these weights. But then, of course, there's the tremendous necessity of running. Notice, with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I was impressed with the truth of patience, because a lot of times we don't have too much of it. In fact, one man said that patience is something you admire in the driver ahead of you and scorn on the one behind you. Well, patience is not simply the ability to wait. It involves how we behave when we're waiting. And I just happened to do a very quick search, and I'm sure you could do this, but let me just Let me just refer to some of the scriptures that have impressed me concerning patience. I've already told you that this race is not a sprint. This race is a marathon. Life is a long journey. Short but long. I was impressed the other day when I was reading about the sower and the seed. Remember that very simple story, how the Lord said the man went out to sow and it fell on four different kinds of soil. And he says, that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit. Period? No. And bring forth fruit with patience. They're going on. It's not always easy to go on. But they bring forth fruit with patience. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Romans 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And as I read this book and I see these people, and they didn't have a lot of light, did they? They weren't able to come to a Jackson conference. They didn't have the entire volume of Scripture. God spoke to them, and then there were long intervals of not speaking. A lot of darkness in their journey. Little light, great faith. And yet these were men and women that walked by faith with patience. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. 1 Thessalonians 1, the assembly there, remembering, Paul says, I remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he writes to the young man, Timothy, and he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. James 1, verse 3 and 4, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, wanting nothing. And the last mention of patience, I found this interesting. James chapter 5, ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Patience, running with patience. Not always easy, is it? This is not an easy race. Tough to live in an unrighteous world. Sometimes it's pretty tough to show grace to fellow believers even. But we're exhorted to run with patience the race that is set before us. And then the ultimate is brought into view. I was speaking to my good friend Jim Clark, and he says, I'm not going to be able to be at Jackson. But he said, look, Marv, and I was pleasantly surprised. He says, Marv, preach Christ. This was on the phone. Preach Christ. He says, that's what will keep us. You know, Jim was right. And here's the writer to the Hebrews. And he's writing about laying aside every weight, the sin which doth so easy beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then he says, now there's a prospect, but there's the person looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. What is going to keep us? What will warm our hearts and stir us to just keep moving on despite the difficulty of testimony for Christ? It's never been easy, and it's not getting any easier. I think this is the keystone. This is the ultimate focus, that there is a person. We remembered him this morning. We were reminded of this widow woman, and her eye was upon this man, upon devotion to God. And here's the writer to the Hebrews, and he's focusing for us the glory of this person. It's what our brother Al has been referring to, the sight of this wonderful Savior, the great I Am. And I just couldn't help but look through the book of Hebrews, and I'll just mention this before I sit down, looking off unto Jesus. What is that? Interesting that the writer uses the name Jesus, the real man, the man who was here. What was he writing about? Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that he is heaven's final word. Heaven's final, ultimate word. God who at various times in different manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through this man and his son. The final word. Don't miss heaven's final word. He's the unchanging one. And for these people that had moved from tremendous change in their lives, they were reminded that the heavens are the work of his hands. But they're going to perish. But thou remainest. They all shall wax old as a garment. They're going to be folded up. Reminds me of my mother years ago taking the sheets off the clothesline outside, and she would just kind of fold them over her arms. That's the picture I have of Hebrews chapter 1. One of these days, God is going to take the canopy of heavens and just fold them all up. But thou art the same. Thou art the same. And thy years shall not fail. In a changing world, we are marked and we are linked with the unchanging Christ. Who is he? He's the stooping one, stooping Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. I don't know what angels thought, but they must have watched with amazement as they saw him. Where is he going? And down from the glory of the Savior came to this little speck of sand that we call earth, who became a little lower than the angels. Or he became lower than the angels for a little time. What a tremendous stoop for the suffering of death. The mighty Creator stepped into his own creation. Who is he? He's the identifier. He has identified himself with us. He took not on him the nature of angels, chapter 2, verse 16, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. So he's become like us. He hasn't stood at a distance from us. Who is he? He's a sympathizer. Chapter 4. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Please don't ever think that he can't identify with us and he doesn't feel for us. He's been where we are. He knows what the journey's all about. He didn't grow up with a silver spoon. He didn't grow up in a home that sang his accolades. Even his own brethren believed not in him. He came into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. Inexcusable ignorance. He came into his own things. His own people received him not. Absolute rejection. That's where he came. That's what he experienced. And because of that, he's able to sympathize with us. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And the shortest verse in our English Bible is just simply, Jesus wept. That's our Savior. Who is he? He's the sufferer. He's the sufferer. Now once in the end of the world, the end of the age, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And here were people, and they had watched thousands, dozens and thousands likely of sacrifices, animals put upon the altar. But now they've come to know one man who himself went to the altar, looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the completer, the perfecter. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down. Who is he? I'll remind it, he's the coming one. And the writer appeals to these people that are going through very, very difficult times. He says, please, don't cast away your confidence. Don't turn back. Don't cast away your confidence. It hath great recompense and reward, for it's just a little time. And I understand it means it's just little. Oh, how little, how short a time, just a brief moment. And he that shall come, and will not tarry. Sometimes we say, if the Lord tarry, that is not scriptural, brother. He's not going to revise his schedule. He's not going to say, well, I know I'm supposed to come here, but I think we'll just kind of flip the... No, he doesn't flip any calendar pages. No, he's not going to tarry. when the moment comes, he's coming. He is the coming one. We're waiting for that morning. Close with this, because this is where these people were. He's still the reproached one. Jesus, that he might sanctify the people, suffered on the inside without the camp. And now the writer says, let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. So here we are. Jackson's ministry is over. We're heading down the road. How are we going to do? I trust that this weekend will have an impact on us. That we will ask ourselves, oh God, I want to make progress. I want to go on. I want to run with patience. I'd like to know more of thy beloved Son. I'd like to show greater devotion to him. I trust that that will be our desire and that God will richly bless all of every believer.